do ask that you pray for me tonight as I stand before you, that the Lord would be honored as we look at a portion of his word, and that we might be encouraged by the truth of the scripture and the message of salvation by grace and the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you from the book of Colossians, the writings of the Apostle Paul. And we'll read in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, beginning right at the first verse. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We read here, because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul unto a church that was at Colossae. And the Lord blessed the Apostle Paul not only to address them, but also to address us here tonight, because that which is written in God's word is inspired of God and is written for our learning and part of that which we're to preach as ministers of the gospel. The writings of the Apostle Paul, he writes as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother. He addresses this church and tells them, as he writes to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, he tells them by what authority, first of all, he writes to them, and that is as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ is one who was directly sent from the Lord. The apostles saw the Lord. They saw him face to face. They heard from his own lips. They were directed by the Lord. They were sent by the Lord. We do not have apostles today. There are some people who like to say they're apostles and name themselves and call themselves apostles. But the apostles were those that were directly sent of the Lord. Some would say, well, Paul never saw Jesus while he lived here, but he did see him, didn't he, on the road to Damascus. Paul was not looking for Jesus, but Jesus surely found him. He didn't find Jesus. He found Jesus, but first, the reason he found Jesus is because Jesus found him. Jesus didn't have to go looking for him either. He knew right where he was. And when he finished with Saul of Tarsus, he had an apostle, Paul, a praying, preaching, blessing that Paul was And all of that by and through the grace of Almighty God. And we talked a few times back about Saul of Tarsus standing there at the stoning of Stephen, holding the garments of those, and even almost like a cheerleader, encouraging him on into the persecution that was taking place at that time. And not only Stephen, but all men and women. He was on his way to persecute the church. And as he persecuted the church, Jesus recognized that persecution of the church was directly a persecution of him. He said, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And no doubt Saul, without understanding, would say, "Well, when did I persecute Jesus? I'm trying to take and was persecuting everyone that named the name of Jesus, but when did I directly persecute Jesus?" Well, remember, when we treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's very important to remember this, that in as much as we do it to the least of his brethren, we do it unto him. And that is not only in a positive way, but also in a negative way. And as Paul persecuted the church, he persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. And which means tonight, as we meet with the church and we greet the church and we love the brethren of the church and we love the sisters of that belong to the Lord, the brothers and sisters that belong to the Lord, and as much as we show that love and pray for one another, we do it as unto the Lord, and the Lord is pleased, even when we would give a cup of cold water to one that is thirsty, or clothing to one that's in need. He taught us that in doing that, we show that very same thing to him, and as much as we've done it to the least of our brethren, we've done it also unto him. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And again, he wasn't that by his own will, but by the will of God. Tonight, you and I are what we are, if it's anything good and right, not by our own will, not by our own efforts. It's not unto us that glory belongs, but unto the Lord. We're not here tonight because we made some great decision for the Lord, or we've decided to go one way that we would have never gone. We would have never gone this way by nature. Our nature was contrary to this. But the Lord, so to speak, arrested us by his grace, brought us out of the captivity we were under, under the dominion of sin, and were bound and not under the condemnation that came as a result of that. But even sin had such a power over us that we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity and would have never done anything good or right before Almighty God until God arrested us, like he did the Apostle Paul. And works a work of grace in our hearts, brings us out of a state of death to a state of life in Christ, gives us faith to believe in him and love to love him. And without him doing that in us, we'd never do it on our own. And you see that reiterated in this letter as Paul writes to these brethren. What a blessing it was, you know, for that church to receive this letter. What a blessing to hear from the Apostle Paul. And to hear such wonderful words from the Apostle Paul. And I hope tonight you and I can feel the same way. As Paul wrote by inspiration of God, he's writing unto us this same thing tonight as an encouragement. And if you're like me tonight, you need encouragement. This old world is so an untoward place, such a difficult place at times, such a place where there's such great need. Sometimes we feel like we need to be a help to God's people. We don't know how to do that. Sometimes we feel like we want to comfort those and we don't really know how to go about that. We feel like we want just the right words to say at the right time that will meet the needs of God's little children. And we feel like sometimes our efforts just seem to be so limited and so small. I want you to understand that no doubt the Apostle Paul felt like that also at times. But he said this also, "When I am weak, then am I strong." And tonight as we come, we can use the words of the Scripture and find always in the Scripture strength and encouragement and light and all that we stand in need of. And when we don't know what to say, it's so good to share the gospel. That is the only true comfort in this world. You know, you can say all kinds of things that give some men maybe some temporary comfort for the moment, but it's not long lasting. It usually, you know, that by the time the sun goes down, you're still in the same trouble you were in before. It's a peace that really is no peace, and a rest that's really no rest. Tonight, as God's little children in the Word of God, we have some solid truth, some solid information that'll hold you up in the storms and the troubles of life. A reality that's given us in a spiritual way from the Word of God. And that which was here for that church is just like it was written for us today. And isn't that amazing that it can be just as timely? You know, isn't it wonderful to have a book that's more up to date and on time than the daily newspaper? Because a lot of times you get that and the stories are old and outdated, not the truth. And what we have in the Bible is God's Word. That's why the minister is to preach the Word. God's Word is always up to date. It's always on time. It doesn't need to be added to and surely shouldn't be taken from. But it declares a wonderful truth that is the truth today and yesterday and forever. And it does not change. And you will find comfort in that as you operate in the faith God has given you. And if he hadn't given you that faith, you can't operate in it. But if God's given you that faith, you should use it in believing him. And tonight I encourage you to believe. I believe that's what he was writing to them, to encourage them to continue and believe that there were some things going on. We could see later in the chapters that follow, there are some things going on that was trying to maneuver them away from a complete trust in Christ and a dependence in part on other things. And you know, a lot of people won't discount the name of Jesus, but they'll use the name of Jesus and throw something else in. They'll use the name of Jesus and have you trust in Jesus and something else. They'll just add a little bit to Jesus, or they'll change who Jesus is, or they'll limit who Jesus is. And what we believe tonight, I believe, is what the Apostle Paul was telling them, that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other place to trust or depend tonight than the simple truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified and salvation through that finished work. He says this. He's what he is. He said, I'm an apostle, so he speaks with authority. I shared this today over at Summer Duck and probably have shared it here. Now, there was a time among the Catoctin brethren, the Catoctin Association, where they thought for a little while they needed that gift of apostles. And they set aside a brother and made him an apostle. According, they made him get that. He wasn't an apostle, but they made him, put him in that position of an apostle. And he did that for about a year. And they came back the next year and reversed all that. Because I guarantee you that brother was glad to get that reversed, don't you? I believe he was about and trying to do things that he did not have the ability to do. Because you see, the apostles were given this directly from God, and they were blessed of God to pin down by inspiration of God his word. And then as the entirety of his word was pinned down, the signs of the apostles confirmed that word. Tonight we don't need that apostolic sign. We have it in the word of God. We have the authority of God's word. Tonight when I preach to you, I don't have to do some miraculous signs. Good thing, because I don't have the power to do it. And by the way, they didn't have the power to do it other than that which was given to them by Almighty God. And he gave them those wondrous powers and abilities to prove that what they were saying was indeed the truth. And once those, somebody said, well, why don't you have those signs today? Once the truth was declared and confirmed, the reason for the signs was over. And we are in today, it's good just tonight to not have to trust in some physical sign, something you can see or something you can hear or something you can touch with your natural fleshly being. But tonight we believe that, I believe and I believe you believe tonight, this is the Word of God. And his Word has been confirmed and we have it, and we're not needing any more. We don't need any less. We just need to be on it. Tonight if I preach, I want to preach from it. I don't want to add to it. I don't want to take from it. I want to stay firm on it. I want it to be our guide of faith and practice. And if we get something else that leads us and guides us, well, we're off track. And we need to repent and get back on track. And his word is our guide. He says, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Paul always said, don't follow me. Follow me only as far as I follow Christ. Every good minister of the gospel which you should say that. Don't follow me. Only as far as I follow Christ. If a preacher preaches to you and it's from the word of God, you follow it and you heed it. But if he or an angel from heaven preach anything other than what this Bible declares, you're to discount that. Don't follow that. That's how Many of God's little sheep have been led astray in this world because they elevate men above the position they ought to be. Our brethren did that when they ordained that brother, set him aside to be an apostle. The good news is they repented of it and got it back on track and said, we don't need to. I'm sure that brother, I haven't read what he wrote or said about it, but I just feel like if you could talk to that brother, he would probably say, sure, that was a mistake. That burden probably stayed with him. It'd be like a preacher being somewhere he's not supposed to be. It's hard enough to be where you're supposed to be, much less where you're not supposed to be. It's like trying to walk in a gift you don't have. And it's hard enough to walk in the gift you do have, isn't it? It's hard enough at times to be faithful to the calling God has given you. By the way, it's not only the preachers who have that calling. Every one of his children have that calling. And when somebody tries to walk in a calling they don't have, they surely make a mess, don't they? It's the only gift that I can exercise is the one God has given me. And if I try to use somebody else's gift or to be somebody I'm not, then all I am is I become a fool, really, as I stand before you, and I'm sure to mess up. So what I should do is trust in the Lord and operate in the calling and the gift He has given me, and then stir that up to use it and do the best. And tonight I would have you stir up the gift God's given you, so that you're using it and going in it just as wide open as you can. Be zealous in it, but don't try to get in somebody else's gift. That's where we would, and we need discernment to know where that is and where that's not. Okay, I'm really all over the place here, but you know, that's my gift. So y'all pray for me. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. Aren't you glad there's some saints? I'm going to tell you, the saints have meant so much to me in this world. This world would be a cold, barren place if there were no assembly of the saints. There weren't some brethren meeting to worship the Lord. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be none set apart. If it wasn't for Jesus and what He did, there would be none washed in His blood. We sang that hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. They'd lose all their guilty stains. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God, there would be none cleaned up to be saints. And if you're a saint tonight, it isn't because you got on track with that. It's because He got you. He worked on you. He washed you in His own blood. And then He set you apart to worship Him and serve Him. He said to the saints and the faithful brethren, I'm glad they're faithful brethren. But if there wasn't any Savior who is the author and finisher of our faith, there wouldn't be any faith. And if He didn't give us the gift of faith, we wouldn't be faithful brethren. And isn't it wonderful how it all comes back to the glory of God? This isn't about a thing tonight that we've done. Isn't about a thing that we could do. All we have done would be gone contrary to Him. But what He did for us has been for our good and for our benefit. And He worked in you the gift of faith. And when you believe and you trust in the Lord by the grace He's given you, you become the faithful brethren. And He says, I'm writing to you tonight. If you believe in Him and you trust in Him, He's writing to you. Here He says, which are at Colossae, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is part of all Scripture. He says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is often called a salutation that the Apostle Paul gave over and over again. And you will find it in all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. You'll find something very similar to this. But as I've said before, I don't believe this is like a dear so-and-so or sincerely that you put at the end of the letter. I don't believe it was just a greeting. I believe He meant every word that He pinned down here to this little church. He said to them, grace be unto you. Do we need grace tonight? You better believe it. If I'm going to preach tonight, I'm going to need grace to be able to preach. If you're going to hear preaching tonight, you're going to need grace to be able to hear preaching. If I'm going to be able to hug your neck and you hug mine like we should and ought, it'll take God's grace to give us that. If we're going to get along in this world, face all the problems we have, we need grace for living. We need grace for dying. When the time comes to die, we'll need grace to die. But I'm telling you, you don't need grace to die right now. If you're alive, you need grace to live. And that grace is God's riches that's come at Christ's expense, that has been poured down upon us, and it's grace to allow us to be what we're supposed to be as God's children as long as we're living in this world. He said, may God's grace be unto you. Now, Paul saying that didn't make it so, but he sure was reminding them of their need of grace. And it also was a prayer that he said, God be gracious to them. Should we be praying for one another that God's grace would be with us? I hope you're praying for me that when I go to school on Monday, tomorrow, that the God's grace would be with me. And God's grace would be with those little children that walk into my classroom. God's grace would be with the mamas and daddies of those children. God's grace would be with all of those that love the Lord. That God's grace would not leave us. Don't you know our nation needs God's grace? Our leaders need God's grace. We pray that God's grace, his prayer for them, as our brothers and sisters in our sister churches, he said, grace be unto you and peace. Don't you know that's where peace comes from? When you have that grace, it gives you peace. It's a peace that passes understanding when you can feel God's grace. And where does it come from? It comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thanks be to God, we have a Father. We would have nothing but a Father to fear if it wasn't for an elder brother who paid a sin debt for us. But we have a Savior who is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is that high potentate. He is the Lord God omnipotent. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have a wonderful Savior. Listen, one thing we need to see about our Jesus, he's not a weak little feeble effeminate character, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he spoke, I'm telling you things, when he speaks and when he spoke, and he is the Word that spoke this world into existence. By him, all things were made that exist. He's the Creator. He is the one, is verse 15 of this same chapter says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Do you see how he's pointing out the importance of seeing Jesus who he is? He is the firstborn of every creature. Now, what does that mean? It means for by him were all things created. In other words, it was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that all things were made. What things? Things that are in heaven were made by him, and that are in earth, visible and invisible. That takes care of everything, doesn't it? And he says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. So you see, the one we serve tonight, everything was made that is made was made by him. And we say, well, why did he do that? Well, he did it for himself. For his own good pleasure. See, we're not worthy and deserving of praise, but he is worthy and deserving of all of our praise. And he says, and he is before all things. And I love this part of the verse 17. And it says, and by him all things consist. He didn't just start it up and said, let it roll. He keeps it. That's why I'm not sitting here tonight worried about some asteroid that's going to come down and blow up. You know, I heard some man pointing out, I'm sure he scared just tons and tons of people. He says it's inevitable. Eventually, an asteroid is going to come flying through space and it's going to hit the earth. And if it hit, it's going to destroy life on the planet as we know it. It's not if, it's going to happen. And I thought to myself, boy, you really gotten above your raising, old fellow. You see, it would be true if there was no God, that may be a possibility. If we just were a random chance, that may be a possibility. If there was no great I Am, if there was no God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and we were all by ourselves here in this universe, how we got here, I wouldn't know, wouldn't be able to even comprehend about that. But if that was true, then there is a possibility that would be the case. But you see, what he didn't understand and what he didn't know is what you and I know tonight. And that there is a God who keeps all things. Not only did he make it, but he keeps it. See, I believe his hand's not only on the sun that keeps it going and moving. It's on the moon, and I believe it's on every asteroid everywhere, all over the world. Not only that, every molecule, every atom, everything he's created, his hand is still in control. I believe that tonight. I tell you what, that's a great peace. That's a great to know that the Lord who loved me And the Lord God the Father, who loved me, sent His only begotten Son and to die for me. And because He showed me such great love, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And He has the power to give us those things that we truly need. So we can rest in Him. Rest in Him. And I'm telling you, when you're sitting there talking to someone who's just lost their daddy and they don't understand, that's not empty words that you share. That's a truth that can mean a great deal to them if God has given them the faith to believe it. Though we may never understand why things happen. I don't know why my dear wife lost her daddy at 17. I do know it has affected her. I know it has been an impact on her life, and she mentions it often. But I don't know what the reasons were for that. And I don't know why she's gone through that, but I do know this. There's a God who knows better than we do. And there are many times that she sees things and she understands things that allow her to get some more peace with that. But one day, we'll understand it all better. Farther along, we'll understand, won't we? Brother Bobby's song. We'll understand it all better farther on. I don't understand why God allows and suffers things to be. I'm not trying to answer that. But I know He is ultimately the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I can rest in Him. And I am thankful to have that kind of God tonight. If it was in my hands, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Oh, I'd be scared. I get scared now because I forget whose hands it is in, and sometimes try to pick up stuff I can't handle, try to do things I can't do. Tonight I can find rest in what He wrote here and told them. He says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body. That's our boss. Who's the boss at your church? Hope it's not your preacher. If you are, you got trouble. Hope it's not the deacons. I surely hope it's not the sisters. I'll tell you who it better be. It better be the Lord. And I'll tell you who better be in charge in your home too. Somebody says, well, the husband's the head of the home. Well, he has a position to be, but I'm telling you, above him is the Lord and the number one head. If the husband is looking to the Lord, he'll make a good head of the household. But if he isn't looking to the Lord, he'll make a mess, just the same in the church. And as the wife walks in that, it's not above one or below one. It's in the calling God. There's a calling God's given a husband. And there's a calling of God's given a wife. And if you've got a wife trying to act like a husband and a husband trying to like a wife, you've got some trouble. You're going to have problems there. And if they ever get their eyes on each other only and not on the Lord, you already got trouble. The trouble and the rest comes when we get our eyes off. We get our eyes off one another and on the Lord. Because, listen, we need forgiveness. And we need to learn how to forgive. We need that can be taught by the Lord. He is the one that gives you a heart to forgive. Otherwise, we'll hold something against one another. And you're talking about a mess. This church would be in a mess right tonight if it wasn't for forgiveness. You know there's stuff I've done you need to forgive me for. I hope you have. I hope you will. And I pray that the God of forgiveness will teach us how to forgive one another, so that we will literally, figuratively get down in one another's feet and wash off the dirt of the highway along the way, realizing it's the blood of Jesus that's cleansed us all. And we're going to mess up in this world. And I'll tell you, you can have true fellowship in your home, in your church, when you go in the love of God and in the grace of Almighty God. And outside of that, well, you're just putting on a show. It's nothing real in it. No peace in it either. He says grace and peace. When you have grace, you got peace. And when it comes down to how it is I'm going to ever get to be with the Lord in glory, if I'm trusting in grace and me, I've got trouble in the me part. If I'm trusting in grace, I can be settled tonight with even dying. If I'm trusting in the finished work of Jesus, it'll be all right, because it's not me that got in my way. It's Jesus who has worked a work of grace in me, and I'm washed in His blood. That's my hope. That's my trust. That's my dependence. And if I ever see heaven, it'll be not because of me. It'll be because of Him. And the truth is, He's telling that to them in this letter. He says, we give thanks to God. I hope that's where we are tonight, every one of us. I want to give thanks to God for you. I want to give thanks to God for every believer that I come across in this world. I want to give thanks to God for the faith He's given them. I want to give thanks to God for the love He's put in their heart. I want to give thanks to God and pray for them that they would continue and walk in the way to honor Him and glorify Him, that which He has worked in them, they'll work out and live it in a way to bring honor and glory and praise to Him in this world for as long as they live, and that they might find grace and peace. I pray that for your family. I needed you to pray for me, that I'd find grace and peace, and we'll pray for one another. Don't let it just be a salutation that the Apostle Paul made and say, well, that's what he said to everybody. No, it's not. What he said that to the faithful in Christ Jesus and to the saints. He said that to God's little children. And he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And I thought about what a blessing it is to be able to pray. You know, in order to pray, you need the full work of the Trinity in order to pray. You need the Holy Spirit to give you an unction to pray. You would never want to pray if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, giving you an understanding, I need to pray. He's the one that allows you to see, I need Him. You need Him tonight? If you need Him, that's an evidence of the Spirit of God. If you understand, I need Him, it's an evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel you needed Him. But if you feel you need Him, it's the work of the Holy Spirit that gives you that unction, that desire to pray. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to pray. And then if we would pray without the Savior, without the intercessor, without the one that's seated on the right hand of the Father, without one that went to the cross and then went to the tomb and then came forth out of the tomb victorious and ascended back unto the Father and sat down on the right hand of the Father, the one making intercession for us, none of our prayers would be heard. That's why tonight we should and ought, every time we pray, to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, is that important for us to do that? I believe absolutely it is important. You know why? Because there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If we have access to heaven, it's not going to be in somebody else's name. It certainly won't be in our name. It'll be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to acknowledge that. And we may not say it every time. I think it's good to say it. But we may not say it every time, but every prayer that's ever been heard has only been heard because of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, carrying that petition from this earth to heaven. He's the one who gave us access. He told us that we could come boldly. Isn't that a wonderful thing tonight? Not only to kind of sneak in, but to come boldly. Where? To a throne of what? Of grace. You know why it's a throne of grace? It's not a throne of works, because if it was, none of us would merit that. His works have merited for us a throne of grace, and we can come tonight at a throne of grace. And what do you find at a throne of grace? You find help in the time of need. You find a Lord that hears our prayer. We talked about it before services tonight. The Lord answers really every prayer that we offer. We offer it if His name offered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it's given by the and it's that He answers every prayer. There are sometimes He says no to that which we've asked for because it's not in our best interest. Just like a good parent is not going to give every child everything they wanted. A child would want that. Give me what I want all the time. That's what I wanted as a kid. A lot of times what I wanted to eat, they gave me something else. And a lot of times when I wanted extra, they wouldn't give it to me. Sometimes they did, and see what the result of that turned out to be. But what I'm saying to you, parents might mess up, but our Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who ask of Him. He's not going to give them something that's going to hurt them. And if we ask for something that's going to harm us or hurt us and we don't need it, He knows that, and He'll say no. And what we need to do is say what Jesus taught us. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And that doesn't mean for a minute that the will of the Son was contrary to the will of the Father. It was certainly an acknowledgement of what He was about to face in His death on the cross when He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Because that which He endured on the cross is beyond anything you and I could ever imagine. All of the payment that was made there at Calvary, Brother Terry had mentioned that in his prayer, of all the sins of all of his children were poured out upon Him, and He suffered the agony, the natural agony. Yes, He gave His cheeks to the smiters who plucked out the beard. His back was ripped open with a scourging that actually mutilated his back. His appearance, his visage, it says in the scripture, was marred more than any man's has ever been marred. It was a bloody mass that was on the cross. That was Jesus our Lord. But above all of that, as the sun refused to shine, it gave no light for a space of 3 hours. The wrath of God, the Father, was poured out on His own Son, which we would have endured had He not taken. And He took yours and yours and yours and yours and every other little child of God that had a payment to make. He took that payment. Not one stripe was held from Him. He bore it and bore it in full. And the very wrath of God, who demands nothing less than justice, was satisfied. He offered Himself once unto God for the sin of His people, and He paid that price. And then otherwise He would have never come forth from the grave. He's a resurrected Savior tonight to show that I accomplished the will of the Father. He came to do the Father's will, and this was the Father's will, that of all that He'd give me, He'd lose nothing. He said, but raise it up again at the last day. And I'm telling you, when He came forth from that grave, He came forth a victorious Savior, and in a glorified body, He ascended by His own power back unto the Father, and He sat down on the right hand of the Father. Having finished the work of the high priest, He sat down where the high priest in the Old Testament never sat down. There was no place to sit. Because that work was having to be done over and over and over again. But I'm telling you, when Jesus finished the work, it never would have to be done again. And He sat down on the right hand of the Father. And He says, making intercession for us. So tonight, we weren't dependent upon Brother Terry and his righteousness to carry our petitions to heaven. Because if it had been all of us together, or any of us individually, none of us, our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags, and if we had to carry those petitions for ourselves or for anyone else, we'd never be heard. We'd never be heard. But I'm telling you, when Jesus intercedes for you, you're heard. That's why you can come tonight boldly. Somebody said, well, I've done too much wrong for Him to hear me. Listen, that would be the case for all of us, but the one who washed you didn't wash you part of the way. He didn't just start on you. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the work of salvation was a perfect work because it was done by a perfect Savior. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. It's a work of Almighty God. And you and I can be settled about our prayers being heard, not because of us, but because of Him. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful to have a Father to pray to? You see, Jesus carries our prayer to the Father, and the Father hears our prayers. And our Father, who is our Father? He's the one who loved you so much He sent His Son. How much did He love you? You know, you see a father loving their children. You see them how wonderful they treat their children. You can say, boy, I can see that father loves that child. I can see that mother loves that child. We can see that. I'm telling you, Jesus is of the Father's love for His Son, that Jesus Christ is so great, we could never imagine how great that love was. But that love, He said, for God so loved the world, that's God the Father so loved the world, that He gave what? His only begotten Son. I'm telling you, He gave His only begotten Son. And how great was that act? So much that Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was forsaken in that sense. But so that we will never be. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Brethren, if I can say anything tonight, pray for one another. You pray for me, and I want to pray for you. And when do we pray? We mentioned a lot of the reasons to pray, but don't just wait for somebody. We need to pray for one another all the time. We need to pray for our little church. We need to pray for those that are here tonight, those that are not here. We need to pray for one another. We have not sometimes because we ask not. Sometimes we ask amiss. Let's pray for one another. When someone's sick, let's pray for them. When they're well, let's pray for them. Whatever their situation, let's remember to pray for them. You know, it's hard to talk about people when you're praying for them. When you're praying for them, it gives you a mindset towards them much different. You want the best for them. If you have an ought against them, pray for them. He says, pray for them that despitefully use you. You know what will happen? They may keep on misusing you, but you'll feel a lot better about it. It won't bother you near as much. You just pray for them. So said, what are you going to do? That person's always bothering me. What am I going to do? Well, you just pray for them. And watch what God does. Have you ever seen it? I've seen it. God moves, it's not a verse, but it's a biblical thought. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And I've seen people do some mighty strange things because folks were praying for them. And you know, and you see folks, oh, it's a wonderful thing to see the work of Almighty God. And it's promises from His Word. He says, since we heard of your faith, He says, we give thanks to God and the Father. And I realize the time is gone. We're going to probably just read one verse or two. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now, their faith didn't make them children of God, but it was an evidence they were, right? And their love didn't make them children of God, but it was an evidence they were. Their faith and love are fruit of the Spirit, which shows they have the Spirit. And the fruit came as a result of the life that came and the Spirit that was there. And He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how do you hear of someone's faith? You hear of them acting and walking in that faith. And that's faith that's with works. Faith without works is dead. But faith with works, what does that mean? Tonight, I believe you're here, but tonight by faith. I believe you came here tonight trusting in the Lord. When we prayed, I believe we prayed believing in the Lord. And I believe we see, when you see people praying to the Lord, you're seeing an evidence of their faith. You're seeing that they're showing an evidence of their faith. When you hear them, see them loving one another, you see an evidence of the grace of Almighty God. You see that they have faith. And since I heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. And what does that mean? He says, for the hope. He says, we give thanks. For what? I believe He's giving thanks for their faith, and He's giving thanks for their love. And then in verse 5, He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I'm telling you, if you believe tonight, by the grace of God, it isn't the believing that made you His, but there's a hope that you have in believing that there is that which is laid up for you, where? In heaven. That when I die, there's a heaven that awaits. Now, what is faith? Does faith make that available? No. But faith is an evidence that it is awaiting for you. If you believe in the Lord, that's an evidence. Isn't that true? It's an evidence. It isn't what causes it, but it's an evidence. No, brethren, the more that we trust and lean and depend upon Him, the more peace we have about eternal things, the more peace we have. Doesn't make heaven more sure. Listen, heaven cannot be more sure for a little child of God than it already is, because that's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it sure makes it more sure in Him. And I love to come to church because I feel more like His child. I feel more at peace about it. And I feel more like His child and more peace about what I'm facing in this world. That's why I'm not wanting to forsake and should not the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is, so that when we come together, I can hear of His Word. And when I hear His Word, it brings forth fruit in my life. And when I fail to hear His Word, well, then the fruit kind of diminishes. The Word brings forth fruit. And that's all here. And I'm not going to get to it, but it's all here. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. When do we hear about all this? Well, what does the gospel do for us? It enlightens you. The gospel tells you about it. The gospel tells you about your Savior. The gospel tells you about heaven. The gospel tells you of a Savior who's assured. You have an assurance in the gospel of what Jesus has done for you. You understand what faith is and see some evidence in your life that I am able to believe. You're able to believe in Him tonight. It's only by His grace that you're able to. I believe that He is tonight. I believe that He made this world. I believe the beauty of this creation that we see is the handiwork of Almighty God. I don't believe happenstance brought it about. I believe, and I would not believe that. It is only by the faith He's given me that I understand the worlds were framed. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And He spoke this into existence. There are many people tonight worried about the asteroid. I hope you're not. I hope if you were, you're not now. I hope you can understand that there's a God. And if he sees fit, I don't know how he's going to destroy this world. I know he's not going to flood it because he's promised that. And the rainbow will show you that. I'll tell you, this rainbow idea has been robbed. Some folks have robbed the idea of the rainbow and made it mean something else. I want you to know the covenant of God with the rainbow is that he would never again destroy this world by water. That he would not do that. But he didn't say he'd never destroy it. He's going to. One day the elements of this world will melt with a fervent heat when the Lord is finished with it. He'll close it up. But you don't have to worry about an accident happening before that time. Because with him there are no accidents. I'm telling you, he's in control. If I didn't believe that, I'd be worried about something bumping into something. You know, it's causing major catastrophes. Now, does that mean we don't have some responsibility as God's little children to behave in a way? Listen, he's made us stewards, and we should be good stewards of whatever he's given us the responsibility over. But don't ever get to thinking it's in our hands altogether, because if we ever get to thinking that, we're too puffed up. And man gets too puffed up, doesn't he? We're not to think more of ourselves than we ought to think. We're to think humbly. We're to think and remember who is the king and who isn't. Who is God and who isn't. When we do that, we'll look to him. We'll have peace. And his word will then come and our lives will be filled with fruit as a result of hearing his word. When you're able to hear his word, your life gets filled with fruit. God's pleased when his children are fruit bearers. Your life is filled with love. Is that a bad thing? Oh, don't win it. Love. And I'm not talking about the love the world knows about. I'm talking about the charity, the agape love that comes from Almighty God. Your life is filled with joy. Do you need joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Love, joy, peace. I need peace. Don't you? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. Oh, brethren, we need to be long-suffering. Long-suffering, as Jesus taught it to be. Gentleness. We need to be gentle with one another. Ministers need to be gentle. Brethren, mamas and daddies need to be gentle. Firm, but gentle. Gentleness. Goodness. Goodness is following what Jesus would have us to do. Faith. Faith. Trusting in the Lord. Meekness. Temperance. And on, those fruit of the Spirit. And when God's little children bring forth that fruit, I'll tell you, that little church is bringing forth that fruit. Signs. It shines as a city set on a hill and cannot be hid. And we let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It is our duty. It's our responsibility. And our God's been so good to us. How could we really be settled not doing the best we could with that? May the Lord bless us to do it better and better. And then we know how that happens. It's grace. We never leave grace. It's by his grace we'll be able to do it. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, my brother. Bless you.